helping to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. This is the Constitution Study on the America Out Loud Network with your host, Paul Engel. It seems that the vast majority of Americans are willing to blindly trust government actors. They tell you something is safe, so you stick it in your arm or you eat it. They tell you to trust that giving the president immunity will not lead to even more criminality, and people believe it. They tell you a boy can be a girl, therefore there's no difference between them, and millions simply go along with it. See, my experience has been quite frequently the opposite. When someone from government tells me something is true, more often than not, it's false. Hello there, everyday Americans. Paul Engel here with the Constitution Study, where we read and study the Constitution, teach the rising generation to be free. You know, I work very hard to earn your trust. Yes, earn. Trust is not something that should be given. It should be earned, and I try hard. I'm not perfect. I'm not saying I never make mistakes, and I try to own up to them when I do. But the point is, I try to get things right more often than, you know, as much as I can. I try to give you the facts and data to prove that what I'm saying is right. I just wish we approached people in government with a fraction of the skepticism that people tend to approach my statements. Let me give you some examples. So for, was it 2+ years now? We've been talking about, actually closer to 3 now, isn't it? The COVID-19 fake vaccines. In fact, I had somebody ask a question. I was on one of the programs the other day asking about the vaccine. And a lot of people said, well, the government says it's safe. The CDC says it's good. The FDA says it's safe. So let me stick it in my arm. And then they started feeling not so good. Now, I'm not saying that nobody was saved by the shots. I'm not even saying that everybody got sick. But if we don't have the data, if we don't know how many people got the shots, how many of them had adverse effects, well, then how do we know? And again, I've dealt with Open VAERS and VSafe and the data. The problem is the data keeps coming out that shows not only were there serious concerns, should there have been serious concerns with these shots. Let's face it, when the guy who invented it or was part of the team that invented it says, no, we shouldn't be using this technology. No, I'm talking about the mRNA technology. Maybe we should have listened. But it seems every few months we turn around and find out, oh, yeah, there's more evidence that the government lied to us, as if there isn't enough evidence in history that the government has lied to us. For example, Epoch Times came out with a report that claims that the CDC had evidence. They had found evidence that both the Pfizer-BioNTech and the Moderna COVID-19 shots had caused multiple deaths before they claimed there was no evidence linking the vaccines to deaths. Now, again, so far what we're seeing is, or what I've read is an article making claims. There's not a lot of evidence proving that what people are saying is true, right? Right. So right now it's people saying, for example, in the article, you read that the CDC employees worked to track down information on reported post-vaccination deaths and learned that myocarditis or heart inflammation, a confirmed side effect of the vaccines, was listed on death certificates and in autopsies for some of the deaths, according to an internal file obtained by the Epoch Times. So it appears that they knew that at least myocarditis, which is not a disease to be taken lightly, not something to be taken lightly, that they knew they were seeing it. They were finding myocarditis, and it was confirmed as not only as a side effect of the vaccine, but that it was listed on the death certificates now, was it listed as something that happened to be there? Was it listed as a causal effect, one or more, or one, either singly or as a group? We have to wonder. But even if that's the case, you know, how big a deal it was, if the CDC is saying there is no evidence. When people are saying, wait, we've got evidence, they say, no, there's no evidence. And then you find out, well, they actually had their own evidence. Well, that's just another reason not to trust the CDC. But according to this report, even though there were findings that were available by the end of 2021, the CDC claimed that it had seen no signs linking either of the treatments, the mRNA treatments, to any deaths reported in the VAERS system, the Vaccine Adverse Effect Event Reporting System. Dr. Andrew Bostom, who is a heart expert, and he was apparently he told the Epoch Times that that's a scandal. When you have information like this and you continue to put out the dishonest line that there's only 7 deaths and they're all unrelated to the mRNA vaccines, the CDC is concealing these deaths. So I want you to think about this. All right, so they knew there were more than the quote-unquote 7 deaths they claimed. They knew back in 2021, or at least by the end of 2021, that there was a concern with myocarditis, and that may or may not lead to death and other things. Yet the CDC still turned around and said, oh, no, there's no evidence of any deaths. Now, I look at this in a couple different ways. One is, well, how can you have informed consent when the body that's supposed to be informing you is lying to you? I mean, it's a basic fundamental tenet of medical ethics, is this idea of informed consent. They don't treat you without your consent, and the consent must be informed. Lying to the patient is the exact opposite of informed consent. But I have to wonder, how many people simply listen to what the CDC, I know a lot of people that simply listen to what the CDC said. Thankfully, most of them seem to have had little, if any, serious complications from it. I thank God for that. But think about it. Not only can you, do you not have informed consent, how can we know how likely these events are if the data is being hidden from if the data is being hidden and the people who are supposed to be providing this data are lying to us? Which is why I find it amazing when people say, well, the government should be regulating this. Why would I want the government to regulate this? The government has proven over and over and over again to be liars, to be cheats, to be untrustworthy regulators of pretty much everything they touch. So why should I trust them? Well, here's another. Follow me. This is going to be a bit of an interesting example. So, Trump is still is on trial. They call it the hush money trial. It's, as I understand it, what they're really trying Trump for is they say that he gave his attorney money that the attorney gave to Stormy Daniels as payment for signing a non-disclosure agreement, and that Trump listed that on his taxes as a legal fees when it was actually used to, they call it hush money. It was a simple process of, we'll give you money and you don't talk about it. This happens all the time. In fact, it happens a lot, with corporations that are trying to avoid lawsuits. They say, okay, you can sue us. But tell you what, if you just sign this NDA, we'll give you money and you just keep quiet. It happens all the time. So really the question is, was this accounted for properly? Now, the Manhattan District Attorney has a witness, they call it a star witness. It's going to be a gentleman by the name of Michael Cohen. Now, Cohen... there's a couple issues with this. For example, Mr. Cohen has been, he's been quite active on X and on TikTok, and he's actually monetized his attacks against Donald Trump. So we can tell that he's probably not a Trump fan, which is why he's going to be a star witness for the prosecution. But I have to wonder, how the jury would view Mr. Cohen's testimony if they knew he was being accused of perjury. Yeah, Elise Stefanik, Representative Stefanik, sent a letter to the Department of Justice saying, hey, we sent you a referral for committing perjury. There was apparently this referral from the committee to the DOJ that during his testimony in February of 2019, Mr. Cohen not lied to the committee in that he's actually admitted to committing perjury before her committee. And what she wants to know is why has nothing happened? You see, the original referral was made on November of 2023. And here we are, May of 2024, and it appears the DOJ has not done any sort of investigation. Now, this is interesting. This brings back to the double standard, which I really don't think is a double standard. I think it's the, I don't want to put this. It's not so much a double standard. The standard is we win, you lose at any cost. Right? That's the standard. But it shows that the justice system isn't interested in justice. Or I should say, this looks to be an example of the fact that the justice system is not interested in justice. In fact, it's not a justice system. It is just a system. But where this, which brings me back to this question of the Trump trial, again, since the Department of Justice so far apparently has not moved forward on this referral, has not opened a criminal investigation, then does that not also bias the jury as to when they listen to Mr. Cohen's testimony in the Stormy in the case in New York, whether or not, hey, this person's been accused of, much less, you know, charged with perjury. See how I say you can't trust the words? In this case, I don't know the Cohen's an actual government employee. I don't remember. But the point is, here's the government making a case. You can trust Mr. Cohen. Really, he's been accused, according to some, he's admitted to committing perjury. Why should I trust what he's saying now? And speaking of trusting what people are saying, you realize that pretty much whenever a high official like, oh, the president or one of his candidates open his mouth, the odds are he's lying, right? How can you tell when a politician's lying? Their lips are moving. Well, the Biden administration has been promoting this idea that we need to have electric vehicles. EVs are the way of the future. We have to go. In fact, we think it's such a great idea. We will embezzle money from the American people to bribe them to buy EVs. You have to understand, there was money taken out of the Inflation Reduction Act to offer a $7,500 tax credit for some people to buy certain electric vehicles. Why? Well, part of the reason they're not being purchased is they're bloody expensive. But understand, this is money embezzled from the American people. The Constitution doesn't authorize the federal government to offer tax credits to promote certain products. And everybody who took one of these tax credits to buy an electric vehicle, understand, you took a bribe. The government offered you a bribe, and you took it. Well, guess what? Ford has been looking at this. They've been selling electric vehicles. In the first 3 months of this year, 3 months, Ford has lost $1.3 billion on their electric vehicle line. Now, considering they only sold 10,000 vehicles and they lost that means they lost $130,000 per vehicle sold. So when the government comes and says, listen, we're going to embezzle money, we're going to bribe you because these are going to be great and we'll sell lots of them and everything will be just fine. Yeah, they're lying through their teeth. I guess I could be generous and say it was wishful thinking, but only if the person making the wish was a complete idiot. Because there are several reasons why electric vehicles don't sell. One of them is their cost. And, well, if you're just going to bribe people to buy the vehicles, that doesn't fix all the problems. Now, listen, I have a break coming up. Before I go, though, yeah, I had an interesting encounter. I bumped into somebody the other day. I was at the grocery store, and he reached out because he said, you know, Paul, he had gotten my book, the Constitution Study, Returning the Constitution to We the People, and he liked it. He said he had been reading it. He liked it. There's a lot of great information. He wanted to know if there were more events. I'd love to have more in-person events, especially those down near where I live, because it makes my travel life a lot easier. But you know what? I don't always have to do these events here. See, I love doing events. I can do a lot of them online. So I wanted to reach out and kind of let you know, hey, I'm available to do these online events, interviews. You know, you can, you know, I've had groups bring me in. I join them via Zoom and we do, you know, talks and Q&As and all sorts of stuff. It's one of the things that I do to help bring the Constitution alive to people in the United States, people who may not have thought about certain things or just want to talk. So if you'd be interested in having me join you either in person or over the internet, contact me through the website. Just go to constitutionstudy.com. Under the About Us, you'll see you'll be able to contact me and let me know, and we'll see if we can make it happen. I love doing these things. And oh, by the way, if you don't charge for your event, I don't charge to show up and to speak at it. If you want me in person, I do ask that you cover my travel and living costs, right? Cars, hotels, food, stuff like that. But my fee for showing up is zero. If you don't charge for your event, I won't charge you to come up and speak. Now, one of the things I find when I travel is I sometimes have a hard time sleeping. In fact, even sometimes the mind just doesn't want to shut down. You get to the end of the day and I go to bed and the mind just keeps running. Well, the wellness company has a product called Restful Sleep. It uses natural ingredients to calm my mind, to reduce stress, so I can get a good night's sleep. It's great because it doesn't involve the hormones and other things that kind of disrupt my normal cycles. Now, it's backed by documented research. I use it because it works. It's vetted by the chief medical board of the wellness company. And since you're an America Out Loud listener, you can get 25% off Restful Sleep. In fact, you can also get 25% off your first month of membership if you use the code OUTLOUD at checkout. So please check it out. Go to AmericaOutLoud.shop, find Restful Sleep, click on the ad, find all the details, check it out, place your order. Be sure to use the code OUTLOUD at checkout. You'll get 25% off of your products and 25% off your first month of membership.
Let's get real. Let's get loud on America Out Loud Talk Radio. Make sure you go to our website and check the banner bars. The banner bars to the sponsors, when you click on them, automatically give you a discount on products. I like especially Healthy Cell REM Sleep Supplement for a great night's sleep. I took it last night. No wonder I feel so good today. Check out Healthy Cell and go to our website, banner bar, to get a discount off your first purchase. Let's get real. Let's get loud on America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Trouble getting to sleep and staying asleep is infuriating. Your mind races, you toss and turn, and the harder you try, the harder it is to drift off. And today's fast-paced digital age makes it tougher. You're not alone. Poor sleep affects over 70% of us. The CDC even labeled insufficient sleep a public health epidemic. Advanced Nutrition Company, Healthy Cell, created REM Sleep to help you quickly fall asleep, stay asleep, sleep deep, and wake refreshed. Unlike other supplements that don't work, REM Sleep is not a pill. It's a gel you swallow with ultra-absorption of science-backed ingredients, supporting all four stages of sleep using calming herbs, amino acids, and sleep hormone support. Over 1,000 reviews with an average star rating of over 4.4 proves it works. Take back your sleep. Go to HealthyCell.com and use limited time code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. Risk-free. Love it or your money back. Guaranteed. HealthyCell.com. Code OUTLOUD. HealthyCell.com. Code OUTLOUD.
World-class care from doctors you can trust, all from the comfort of your home. That is One Wellness. Dr. Peter McCullough and his team at The Wellness Company launched the One Wellness membership to provide free monthly supplements and unlimited telemedicine access with doctors that share your values. Be a part of a revolutionary new healthcare system that puts your health and well-being above the interests of Big Pharma's bottom line. It's the way healthcare should be. Go to OutLoudCare.com today and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first month of One Wellness.
Welcome back, Everyday Americans. You've rejoined the Constitution study, and I'm asking, give me one good reason why I should trust the government. And I bring this up because I frequently, whether I'm listening to podcasts or doing interviews, people that are, they're shocked when government regulators don't do their job. There's a gentleman I listen to regularly by the name of Del Bigtree. He does a lot with vaccines and stuff, and he's been shocked that the very entities that are supposed to regulate drugs, illegally, by the way, are not doing their job, as if somehow, you know, he talks about, you know, being in bed with Big Pharma, as if a giant commercial corporation is evil, but for some reason, a giant bureaucratic organization but like the government is pure as a wind-driven snow. And I'm sorry, experience just says something completely different. Yeah, you know, I'm actually, I don't say what I'm more likely. When I'm dealing with a private corporation, right, they have to prove to me that they're doing their job, or I do business somewhere else. But we don't do that with government. We just say, hey, government, you should regulate this. And again, we saw it with COVID and the fake vaccines. We've seen it with the food pyramid. I've been watching a couple of interesting shows talking about how this idea of the food pyramid, you remember the food pyramid? You know, where the government's turned around and said, this is what you should be eating. Turns out to be absolutely wrong. It's not based on science. It's actually was a political move more than anything else. And on and on. In fact, I just had him on. The other day, I wrote a book where he's got, 25 examples of where the government lied to us. And he documents them. And apparently he's not going for the ones that most of us think about. So I come back to this question of why, I should say, I want someone to give me a good reason. Now, it's interesting. I was on a conference call a few weeks ago and someone said, well, look at all the great things government does. I said, great. Show me one. They said, well, healthcare. I said, you realize that since government got involved in health insurance, all the premiums have gone up and the services have gone down. That, you look at Medicaid and Medicare, they're losing money left, right, and center. And I don't know a lot of people that are actually thrilled with how these processes run. The VA was a disaster. And they said, well, education. Again, why do our test scores keep going down? Why do we keep getting, you know, the more money we spend through government, why does it keep going down? And this went on for a few minutes before the person just kind of really sort of gave up. Right? I think we both kind of said, that's enough. Let's stop beating. So I come back to this question of trust. And trust. Well, to me, trust is important. You may have heard that Donald Trump's case before the Supreme Court about the question of presidential immunity, oral arguments were heard. And I've been working on an article on this. It's very detailed. It's going to come out in a couple weeks. And I've got the links and the audio and all sorts of great stuff for it. But it brought to me in mind an interesting question. Why should we trust a political person so much that we give them immunity from prosecution for their criminal actions? Now, the attorney for Mr. Trump came up with lots of reasons why. He said, this is, you know, where does he was asked, you know, where does this idea of presidential immunity come from? There's only one problem. Every example he gave was not true. Here's a sneak peek. He says, well, the vesting clause of Article 2, Section 1. In other words, it says the executive power of the United States shall be vested in a president. Yeah, nothing in there about immunity, but he claims it's there. He claimed that the Supreme Court case Marbury versus Madison said that a president had immunity. I've read it. I've written an article on it. It says no such thing. He claimed that even George Washington talked about immunity in his farewell address. I've read through that as well. Says no such thing. Even, you know, when he pointed to a case and a concurring opinion from Justice Thomas on a case called Zitofsky versus Carey, you read the case and it doesn't say what the attorney says it does. So this idea of, well, just because, and here's the part that I got. The justices never seemed to actually challenge one of his claims directly. They did so indirectly. But it's interesting, not one of them said, the vesting clause. Really, where in the vesting clause does it say he has immunity? Not one person asked that. Even Justice Thomas, when his own opinion was quoted as a justification for it, never said, well, you realize I didn't say that. But we simply trust. And I have to ask you, would you trust a president with immunity? There's a simple test. It's a simple test you should use anytime you're talking about a power delegated to any government official. Take that very same power, place it in the hands of your arch enemy, and ask yourself, would you be comfortable with that? If you're a Donald Trump supporter, would you be comfortable with Joe Biden having absolute immunity? That no criminal activities he committed as president could he be charged with? Just think of the examples we've had over the last 3+ years. Imagine if there was not even a question. I mean, granted, it's extremely unlikely that Joe Biden will ever be charged. I give you examples of Hillary Clinton, who obstructed justice, who destroyed government records and admitted to it. She was never charged. I give you Eric Holder, accused, I believe, of perjury, but also of contempt of Congress. He was never charged. I even give you the example, we could look at of the last two presidents. We have two presidents that were found to have classified documents. Now, one of them, under a Supreme Court opinion, basically said that since he was president, he can decide what documents are his and whether they're classified or not. It is solely the discretion. I forget, if it was a Supreme Court case or it's actually part of the National Archives. I think it's the Presidential Records Act. That the president, when he leaves office, gets to decide what documents he can take. And that includes whether or not they're classified. Now, one guy did that, and his home was raided, and he's been charged. Another gentleman collected documents. Oh, by the way, he wasn't president at the time. He wasn't even vice president at the time. Some of them, he was a senator. No one's even talking about charging him. So we have a quasi-immunity, but only if you're part of the correct political movement, which is rather antithetical to what the United States was supposed to be about. Now, again, if you may be a Trump supporter and you may be hoping that Trump wins, you may be an anti-Trumper and you don't want him to win. Here's the sad part. I've been through the oral arguments. Trump's case is garbage. I mean, it really is. It's a bad case on bad law with actually no law. So it's a bad case based on, founded with or supported by really flimsy and bad arguments. And, from my standpoint, it doesn't stand. In my opinion, it's not, the argument's not worth it. But we're dealing with the courts. And the courts have a habit of deciding to legislate. In fact, the attorney for the government, Mr. Dreeben, he had a quote that really disturbed me. He says, "We are trying to design a system that preserves the effective functioning of the presidency and the accountability of a former president under the rule of law." The courts are not supposed to be designing anything. The role of the courts is not to design systems. It's to look at the law and decide a case based on the law. If anybody's to design something, it's Congress. But even Congress can't design. Well, the only way Congress could legally design this is to amend the Constitution. Which brings me back to the question, why should I trust anyone in government? Give me one good reason why. I have an attorney arguing for a case, an argument. Literally, it is awful. Check it out. I think this is going to come out in a couple of days. This is going to come out May 13th, somewhere around there. So you can read it when it hits the America Out Loud website. There'll be a video as well. You can watch. It really is bad. But if the court, if the attorneys in the court are trying to violate the Constitution, not only by possibly providing some form of immunity to a president, but they are designing a system. They are literally legislating from the bench. Why should I trust anything they say? Why should I trust anything they do? As I said, in going through the oral, and I listened, it was over 2.5 hours, almost 2 hours and 40 minutes of oral arguments. I listened to it all. And most of the factually wrong statements made were never challenged. Now, maybe that's kind of the way the court does things, is they don't challenge them in the oral arguments. They challenge them later. But I have to wonder, based on some of those arguments, how can I trust that you're going to get a reasonable outcome if the people that are making these decisions either don't know what the law is, or don't even know their role in the government system? So I come back to, okay, I'm still looking for a good reason why I should trust government actors. Let me give you another example. So a bunch of states, the 6 more states have joined a lawsuit against the Biden administration for basically making the rules up. In this case, we're talking about Title IX rules. Now, the big question here is Title IX. Title IX was created to make sure that women had an equal opportunity to participate in sports at the high school and college level. And it said you could not discriminate based on sex. That if you had a program for men and boys, you had to allow a program for women and girls in the same sport in order to be fair. And they had to be segregated in the situations where the physical capabilities of the genders made a difference. That's why we have, you know, female basketball, female wrestling, we have all the, you know, female swimming. There's a physical difference that makes that matters. And the Biden administration just came and said, we're going to rewrite that. No, it doesn't mean sex. It said sex. It doesn't mean sex, actually means what's in people's heads. So if a boy claims to be a girl, he can compete in girls' school, even though as a boy, he was not even middle of the pack. But as a girl, he's now setting records. We don't care. Now, if that's the attitude of some in government, why should I trust anything they say? Now, again, we have a bunch of state attorneys general that are filing a lawsuit. Okay. My question is, where the governor saying, no, you don't, Joe Biden didn't have the authority to do that. That rule is void. We won't follow it. We won't pay any attention to it. And if you try to enforce it, we'll either sue you or arrest you. Again, why don't I trust what comes out of the board? Not that the state governments are quite as trustworthy. I mean, let's face it, the states screw up a lot. I'm going to talk about that after the upcoming break. But again, just because some bureaucrat issues a rule at an agency that does not legally exist, that a boy competing in a girls' program is competing on an equal playing field, doesn't mean it's true. By the way, just because they say they can do that doesn't mean it's true either. Just because the DOE says we can do this doesn't mean it's true. And by the way, that's true for most of what comes out of the executive branch. I don't mean small, I mean most of what comes out of that polluted cesspool. While you're at it, I'm going to encourage you to stop spending your money with companies that are promoting the woke agenda, that are promoting our open borders, our out of control spending. How about we buy from companies that actually believe what you and I believe? Patriot Mobile is America's only Christian conservative wireless provider. They have the nation's best 4G and 5G coverage on all the networks using all the towers that the major carriers do. I've been a Patriot Mobile customer for years now. I'm very happy I changed. They've got great plans and great service. And best of all, they support organizations that fight for religious freedom, your constitutionally protected rights, the sanctity of life, even our veterans and first responders. Switch to Patriot Mobile today. Get free activation with the offer code CONSTITUTION. So please go to patriotmobile.com/constitution, find a plan that works for you. Be sure to use the promo code CONSTITUTION in order to get free activation. And while you're out checking things out, also swing by americaoutloud.news. I go there every day for news and information. I think you should as well. But I'm going to ask you to do something. Don't just visit and browse around. Find the stories and the articles that mean something to you, the podcasts and videos that really touch your heart, and share them. It's the act of sharing this information that not only informs more people, but helps to secure the blessings of liberty for all of us.
58 million people suffer from joint aches and stiffness in the U.S. every day. Ignoring chronic joint discomfort can affect mobility and your quality of life. Advanced Nutrition Company, Healthy Cell, created Joint Health and Mobility to support connective tissue, joint lubrication, and reduce joint irritation with curcumin, omega-3, chondroitin, glucosamine, and hyaluronic acid for joint comfort and flexible range of motion. And Healthy Cell's not a pill. It's a patent-pending gel you swallow with clinically proven ultra-absorption of science-backed ingredients. You would need to take 11 pills to get the same amount of nutrients in each gel pack. And these great-tasting gels come in a small packet. Tear off the top, shoot it down, or mix it in water. It's 100% drug-free joint support. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. HealthyCell.com, code OUTLOUD for 25% off.
Cholesterol, blood pressure, blood sugar, inflammation, and weight. These are all real-world problems that 87% of Americans are struggling with. Fight back with Heal Right. Heal Right is a bar you eat, but it's food as medicine that addresses the nutritional root cause of health issues in just 8 weeks. Take action today. Visit healright.com/outloud or americaoutloud.shop and use the code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
Welcome back, everyday Americans. You rejoin the Constitution study, and I'm begging you, somebody give me one good reason why I should trust government actors. Because I keep coming up with more and more reasons why I shouldn't trust government actors. And yet we focus a lot on some of the national issues, the CDC, the Department of Justice, the Biden administration's question of immunity. And I was talking about Title IX and some of the crazy, stupid stuff that's being promoted in Title IX for the transgender insanity. Right. They call it a movement. I call it just a psychiatric problem run amok. And again, it's real simple. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to look at the body and say, that's a man. Let's face it. In any other situation, if someone can claim that something that's observably true is false, we say it's a mental disorder and it's the mind that needs to be fixed, not the body that needs to be fixed. That's true whether you're talking about chopping off body parts, if someone who thinks they're Jesus or Napoleon, who thinks that the moon is made of cheese. It's a mental issue. We deal with the mental problem, except here. Here, we let the mental problems run amok, and it's become an infection. This LGBT nonsense has become a truly a cancer on our society. And the latest actually comes out of West Virginia. So Mountain State's Harrison County Board of Education was allowing, quote-unquote, a boy who thinks he's a girl to compete on the girls' track and field, right? To compete in a girls' track and field meet. Now, we've already seen what happened at Penn State, where the guy was swimming against the girls and just, you know, blew them out of the water, setting records. A guy that was, again, middle of the road at best in the males' competition, women blasting them out of the water. We've seen this in wrestling. We've seen this in all these sports. And yet here we still have a school board, again, in West Virginia, that said it's not only okay, it's fair to allow boys to compete at girls in track and field. Now, again, let's deal with some obvious facts. So I'm taking this data from the National Federation of State High School Associations record book. Right, these are the records from the National Federation of High School, State High School Association. The world record in the 100 meter dash for boys is just over 10 seconds. It's 10.13 seconds. For girls, it's 11.0 seconds. That seems to be a significant advantage for the boys. Now, let's make sure it's not just a crazy individual. Let's take a look at the 4x100 meter relay. Again, 38.92 for the boys, 44.24 for the girls. All right, maybe it's not just running. Let's take a look at, high jump. Let's take a look at the high jump. So I'm clicking on the high jump numbers. For boys, the world record for the high jump is 7 feet 6 inches. For the girls, it's 6 feet, 4.5 inches. Do my math, that's more than a foot less. So it is quite obvious that it is inherently a non-competitive situation to put boys in girls' track and field, right? And again, I just picked a couple. Search for yourself. I don't know of any track and field where the boys compete on an even playing field. So the Mountain State, West Virginia, the Harrison County School Board allowed boys to compete against a girls in the track and field. Well, guess what? People complained. In fact, 4 middle school girls in West Virginia protested, at least 4 protested against allowing this boy claiming to be a girl to compete against them in track and field. So what did the school do in this situation? Well, the school said they couldn't, these 4 girls could not compete anymore. They banned them from competition. This is the state of West Virginia, a county board of education, when they were approached by their constituents, these girls, with an obvious unfair situation, they place politics above justice. Well, the parents are probably not too happy. See, the parents of these 4 particular girls are suing the school board. Now, here's what's interesting. So one of these girls, she's a middle school girl. She competes in the shot put. She and her family were interviewed by Laura Ingraham on Fox News, where an interesting point came up. Now, before we get to that point, I want to remind you. So the The world record, the U.S. record in the shot put for boys is 77 feet. And for girls, it's 57 feet and a quarter and 1 1/4 inches. But now listen to this clip from the interview that brought up something else I didn't quite realize.
Exactly. Emmy, middle school boys, and I know you know this, but our viewers don't, they throw the 8-pound shot put and the girls throw the 6-pound shot put. So explain to us the unfair advantage that a biological male then would have in throwing that lighter ball.
Well, I mean, it's obvious that males are physically superior to women. So in that, he's going to be throwing something lighter, which is ultimately going to be easier for him to throw.
I guess you don't need a PhD in physics to figure that out, AJ. So
wait a second. You're telling me that the boy's 77-foot shot put record was put with an 8-pound shot, whereas the girl's 57 feet, 20 feet shorter, was with a 6-pound shot. And somehow this is supposed to be, well, you know, as the Ling Lei said, it's obvious that boys have a physical advantage over girls, which apparently is too obvious for a bunch of school board members, a bunch of elected school board members in West Virginia to figure out. Now tell me, why should I trust any of these people from government? Oh, by the way, there was the legislation called Save Women's Sports Act, and it was overturned by some, I don't know. I don't know the person. Seems to me a federal hack. And the federal court said, no, it's unfair to tell a boy masquerading as a girl that they can't compete in girl sports. This is a classic example of taking the oddity, the extreme, and trying to normalize it, of literally punishing the victims, where you have girls that are being forced to compete against boys when they're at a serious physical disadvantage. In many cases, they're being forced to change in locker rooms before boys, use restroom facilities with boys. And let's take the individual and place them above everybody else. We got one boy that wants to be a girl, and everybody else's rights have to go out the window. And why should I trust government to protect anything? I wouldn't trust a government actor to babysit my daughter. Granted, she's an adult now. She doesn't need a babysitter. But think about it. We have so many examples of the government screwing things up. Yes, we have COVID. You know, I was talking to somebody a while back. You remember the Tuskegee syphilis experiment? The government said, hey, I got an idea. Let's infect a bunch of black men in Tuskegee, Alabama with syphilis to see what happens. Well, again, Peter Serafin in his book, he gives us another example where they literally sprayed a bacteria. The government sprayed a bacteria over San Francisco. I think this is back in the 1930s. I'd have to go back and double check. But they sprayed a bacteria just to see what it would do. And we're supposed to trust them. We have a court that says, hey, there's no problem with boys competing against girls. And now I'm supposed to believe another federal court's going to say, hey, we can give presidents a level of immunity and no, nothing bad will happen. Really? See, this is why I focus so much of, if we're going to save this republic, the answer is not coming out of D.C. And the answer is most likely not going to come out of your state house either. Just look at West Virginia. If you're telling me that a school board in West Virginia can't tell the physical differences between a boy and a girl, I'm sorry. They're not qualified to do anything. If I were hiring them and they couldn't, if I were, had a position to hire them and they couldn't tell me the difference between a boy and a girl, I wouldn't hire them to sweep the floors. It's good. The answer, ladies and gentlemen, is going to come on Main Street. It's going to come from parents like this that are telling their daughter, no, these people are stupid. Well, maybe they're not using that language, but all right, I'll tell them. These people, they're stupid. And I mean Bonhoeffer's theory of stupid, where the facts just don't matter. They place politics above everything. Transgenderism is a political move, not a scientific move. It's anti-science. It is not gender-affirming care. It's gender-denying care. You're denying the truth. These people are teaching their daughter what is true. And they're teaching them that it's right to speak up. If you get punished for speaking up, we will sue. We will stand with you, even if you get punished for speaking up to do the right thing. I applaud these parents. I applaud these parents. Okay, for those who they're suing. I applaud the parents that stand with their daughter that says, we don't care if the idiots in government get it wrong. You do the right thing, and we will stand with you. I'd love the opportunity to talk to these parents, to talk to this young lady, have them on the radio. If I could get in I don't know how to get in touch with them. If somebody does, please have them reach out to me. I'd love to have their story here on the radio. And I'd love to learn more about how the parents are helping raise this young lady to be a wise and intelligent young woman that will one day contribute to our society. That is where the answer comes from. It's not a new law. It's not a new regulation. It's not some decision from the courts. Family. And the families that I hope will support what this family is doing. And if I can, I'll be more than happy to. That's why, again, I don't have any contact information for them. If you do, please let them know I'd love to talk to them. And I'd love to have them on the radio if they would be interested in it. But this is how we save the republic. Not in D.C., not in our state capitals, in our living rooms, around our dining tables, where we teach the rising generation to be free. Just as John Jay suggested, we teach the rising generation to be free. How do you do that? You start by reading and studying the Constitution. You start by finding out what the Constitution actually says. You start by using that to recognize when your rights are being violated, to prepare yourself to defend and assert them. And while you're doing it, we teach the rising generation to do the same thing. See, we are leaving this generation a nation not nearly as free as the one I inherited from my family. When my parents left this country to me, it was freer than the one we have today, which is why I'm working so hard that the nation I leave to my daughter is freer than the one we have today, because we've lost so much. Now, I can do that for my daughter. I'm asking you to do that for your family. Don't worry about whether or not we fix Washington. Fix your backyard. Fix your town. Fix your county. Make sure your county officials and your local elected officials know their oath to the Constitution, what it means, and the fact that you expect them to uphold it if they wish to keep their job. And since they often end up in state office, they can bring that knowledge with them. And then if they happen to go on to federal office, guess what? If we bring this to the states, if the states get a hold of this, D.C. becomes meaningless. As vaunted as everyone says D.C. is, most of D.C.'s power comes from the capitulation of the people and the states. Once we realize the limits on their power and start living by them, D.C.'s power evaporates. They've got the F-16s. Look at how well that's worked in other places. Now, I'm not saying there isn't risk, and I'm not saying there won't be cost. But I think living free will be worth it. Now, if you do want to study, you want to do more and you're not sure where to go, well, please check out constitutionstudy.com/wizard. I created this wizard. It's a planning wizard. It asks you a few questions and then based on that makes recommendations of things you might try. things that help you read and study. Yep. Most of, by the way, the wizard is free. Many of the suggestions are free. It may just be, you know, hey, read the Constitution with some friends or check out this site that may have some more information for you. Maybe it'll recommend reading my book. I wouldn't mind that. It would certainly help the work that we're doing here. But it's a place to get started. It's a place to learn, to figure out how to learn more and then take those that information and knowledge to the next level. Now, hopefully, one of the things you'll do to keep learning is to come back here to hear the Constitution Study every weekday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time on America Out Loud Talk Radio, heard on the iHeartRadio Network. Or maybe you'll listen to the podcast. The episodes go to podcast generally a day or two after they're heard on talk radio. You can listen in your favorite podcast app, but do me a favor, subscribe to the show. Leave the episodes ratings and reviews. It helps other people find the Constitution Study as well. The algorithms are often built on the number of subscribers and the number of 5-star reviews that these episodes get. Now, you can find all the links you need at the homepage at AmericaOutloud.news. But if we want this to grow, if we want the Constitution Study to grow, if we want this movement towards freedom and liberty to grow, the best thing you can do is to share the news. Take those links, take the episodes, share them with friends, family, everywhere you can. By doing so, you're also sharing the blessings of liberty.